Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I have another guest on, and I think it's always great to have a guest on who is more educated than you in certain areas and has more expertise. This week specifically, we're going to focus on mindset. So I have Mindset with Martha on the podcast this week, and she is just a book of our fountain of knowledge, I should say, when it comes to mindset. Mindset is such an underrated part of anyone's transformation journey. It is how you talk to yourself, that inner dialogue, that narrative. It will dictate your progress. If you have limited beliefs about yourself, we're going to talk about it anyway. We're going to talk about, you know, when people get to a certain point in their transformation journey and they think about giving up, we're going to talk about how you tackle that, you know, your why did you want to do this in the first place, New Year's resolutions, you know, support systems, how friends and family can sometimes hold you back or progress you further. Just, yeah, if you're your own worst enemy when it comes to things like this, when it comes to fat loss, you know, stopping, starting, giving up, etc., this podcast is going to benefit you, or you might know someone who might benefit from it. But anyway, without further ado, we will jump into the episode. So, Martha, welcome to the Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. Thanks for coming on. Delighted to have you.
Thanks very much for having me.
So for those who don't know Martha, she actually has an Instagram page, and it's called, do you want to actually just give them a bit of info about your Instagram page and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram is Mindset with Martha. So I started my business, I would say, between last January and February, roughly. So yeah, I started off, my background is actually in psychology. So when I started psychology, I'd say I've been studying now for over 10 years. So I started off firstly in nursing, and then I went into studying cognitive behavioral therapy. I went into counseling psychology, then went into psychology in DCU in Dublin, and then I studied data science. And with my master's in data science and my degree in psychology, I specialized then in human behavior, self-esteem, and anxiety. And then I put all of that together in one bundle and went into mindset coaching then.
Yeah, because I think it's something I mentioned to you before we started recording, but I think people underestimate how mindset is such a massive part of fat loss. Like, a lot of people put it down to like the exercise and the diet, but in my opinion, I think the mindset has to change before the body does.
100%. Like, I even know myself, when I've been on fitness plans before, like, I would have joined PT sessions and they would have been, you know, you pay up front, you pay for your 12. And I mentioned this before on my Instagram as well. Like, I would have dropped off plans probably by the time I got to the sixth or seventh session. And I would have said to my coach, because I was battling with my own mindset at the time, self-sabotaging behaviors and negative self-talk. And I would have said to my coach at the time, like, keep the money, like, I'm not coming back, I'm done, because I just completely talked myself out of it. And it was because I was negatively speaking to myself throughout, like, my sessions. I was going, and then, like, by the time week three or week four came, I was like, I can't do this. Like, you know, I was getting tired, I was getting kind of exhausted, because you are making a change, you know, you're changing your habits, you're changing your routines, your morning's different, you're getting up that bit earlier to go to your PT sessions, you know, your evenings are different, you're going to these sessions after work. And then after a couple of weeks of doing them, and your diet's changing, so your body is changing with that as well. And I wasn't accounting for that. So when I jumped into the 12 sessions, so like the 3 months, I wasn't taking into account the changes that were going to happen with my mindset as well, and I would literally drop off before the end of the second month. So it is a massive part. Like, mindset will account for 80% of your fitness journey, because if you don't take your mindset into account during it, and you just think, oh, I want to, you know, lose a bit of body fat, or you want to jump into a program, and you don't account for the changes that are going to happen in your mindset, you will drop off. Like, a large majority of people will back away. And, you know, I see, like, I chat to a lot of PTs, and, you know, they talk about increasing retention within their gyms. Like, having someone there specifically to chat to your clients about mindset is massive, and that's why, like, a lot of PTs will talk about, you know, motivation and stuff with their clients as well.
Because I think a lot of people, obviously, they don't take that into account, but they're trying to, you know, make changes, but still using the habits that got them to this, you know, in the fourth place. And it's just like they're fighting a losing battle, but at the time I don't think they're aware of it. They just have like that, which we'll move on to soon, is the those limiting beliefs, you know, like they fall at the fourth hurdle and they're like, oh, you know, I'm reaffirming to myself I actually can't do this. And I think it is a lot of self-doubt. Yeah, it's probably something they're not even aware of. They don't have a clue of it. They probably just think I'm not capable, when it can be fixed with a couple of, you know, CBT, self-talk, I suppose rephrasing how you speak to yourself. What is your opinion on those limiting beliefs? Like, is that something that you come up with, or you come up against a lot with clients?
A lot, yeah, 100%. So, a limiting belief, from like, there is like an actual definition, but my definition of limiting beliefs is basically a belief that has limited you from reaching success and reaching your goal, so your end goal. And it's essentially a false accusation that you've held on to for such a long time throughout your life. So it could have been something that popped up in your childhood years, during school. Maybe you had a teacher or like someone who'd said to you that you weren't good enough at something, and then you held on to this belief that, you know, you weren't worthy of doing something, or you didn't have the confidence to do something. And therefore you went through life believing this false accusation about yourself, and then feeling like you weren't able to go ahead with what you actually wanted to achieve. Like, for example, if I had held on to the idea that I wasn't confident enough to start my business, I would have never started an Instagram page. I would have never jumped into mindset coaching at all, because like, you have to look at the beliefs that you've held on to for such a long time, and like, you realize that they've limited you from reaching that success that you're very much worthy of achieving.
And I don't even think it's with fat loss alone. I think it's in a lot of different parts of people's lives, whether it comes to your career, like you said, many different factors. How would you go about changing a limited belief with a client? If you were to take a client on board and their limited belief was, I fail at everything I start, you know, how would you go about fixing that?
I'd first look at, so whenever I start with a client, our first session is always based around self-awareness. So it's talking about, what are your thoughts and emotions currently? What are your current values? What are your beliefs about yourself? So if someone came to me with that question, I would say, well, where, in what part of your life did you start to believe this? So where did this belief about yourself start? And try and dig that bit deeper into where this belief came from. And then also instill that belief in them, that they are very much capable of achieving whatever they want to achieve. And it's kind of like working alongside a client. I think a lot of people feel like they don't have that support or don't have that system there to get them to where they want to be, that you're kind of on your own. So it's really just working with them on that belief.
Something I spoke about in another podcast was support systems. So I know you said they don't have that support. Like, how significant is it to have a good support system? You know, the pros and cons of a support system, or I suppose the lack of a support system.
Yeah, no, like having a support system is massive, because it's helping with that accountability as well. So like, even like having a fitness group program, for example, it's like you have that like WhatsApp support there. You've got your coach in that WhatsApp with you, or even if you're going to these, your PT sessions, or they're like, even if they're private sessions, semi-private, you've got that support from your coach and the other like-minded people who are in that program with you, going through similar stages within their fitness journey with you. I believe like always having someone there who believes in what you're doing, and also knowing that helping you to believe in yourself is massive along your journey, because if that support's not there for yourself, but also having other people to believe in you too, I do feel like that's massive. Like, you know, believing in yourself is one thing, but knowing that other people are there to support you too is like, it's just huge for anyone's mindset. It builds that confidence in you that you're capable of achieving what you want to achieve.
Oh, like I've read books and I've seen multiple studies on the impact of, like you said, being in the likes of a WhatsApp group. People just work better when they're surrounded by other people who share the same interest. You know, it's so important.
Yeah, I love that as well. It's like I've been in like programs before where you'd have the WhatsApp group, and like just having that community, it's just having that kind of like motivation, or you might get a message from your coach that'd be like Monday motivation, and you see kind of like a WhatsApp message come in and it's like motivating you for a Monday, or you've got your Zoom calls in the evening with your group, and it's just kind of like listening to everyone else's stories, kind of knowing that other people are going through similar with you, and that if you ever were feeling like you were doubting yourself in any way, or feeling like you're lacking confidence in any way, that people are there to support you and you've got people to reach out to. And kind of, it's always like building yourself back up, because there will be stages in anyone's fitness journey where you're going to start doubting yourself, because you're, as I said previously, like your habits are changing, your routines are changing, you know, your food is different, etc. And that's going to impact your mindset and your body, and it's going to put a small bit of, say, stress on your body, or you're going to speak negatively to yourself, and those self-sabotaging behaviors will creep in. So knowing that you've got that support there to help make sure that you don't give up on yourself is massive.
I think, you know, I've noticed as well that when I do say like 8-week challenges or 12-week challenges, you can always start the spot the week where people start kind of dipping, or you know, they might not be filling in their check-ins as much, they're being less vocal in the group, and then all of a sudden you just don't hear from them, and then like, you know, well, you don't know, but like you just assume like, oh, I think there was a limiting belief issue there, and they may have just had a simple hiccup, but they thought that they couldn't recover from it, you know. For that, like, I suppose pivotal moment, what's something that you would say to a client if you are a part of a WhatsApp group and you noticed that motivation was dipping after 7 weeks, a couple of people shared the same issue, what's something you would say if you were a coach to kind of like, I suppose, not give them a kick off the arse, but you know, just kind of light the fuse in them again, like, because like I always say, motivation is fleeting, like it's only there in the first couple of weeks, and then it's the discipline and the consistency that has to carry you through.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing, so I always say that as well, like motivation won't always be there. Self-discipline is what's going to be there to back you up on the days that motivation doesn't show up for you. And I think when people jump into programs, like they believe the motivation will always be there, and that's where the dip will start. It's like, okay, that motivation isn't showing up for me. Like, where is it today? And you just kind of take that dip. But with clients, I always get them at the very beginning to write down their why. Like, why did they start this journey? What is the reasoning behind wanting to start a fitness journey, a mindset journey? And have that 2-3 sentence mission statement literally plastered on your desk, on your phone, anywhere you can find it, your bathroom mirror, and literally remind yourself every single day of why you started. And then that's there for you on the days where you wake up and you're like, nah, I'm not going to the gym today, or I'm not going to my class today, or whatever. And then you read that and you're like, okay, so I'm doing this for this reason and that reason. And everyone else's reasons for why they're on that journey will be different, but it's just to consistently remind yourself on the days that motivation isn't there, like why you started in the first place, because it will get tough. Like, you know, throughout the weeks, you'll find that dip, and like when you're trying to talk, not going to the gym or not wanting to work out, or wanting to, I suppose, take a break from your nutrition plan and wanting to binge eat, for example, it's just having that statement there to remind yourself why you started and to not give up on yourself. So I'd always start with what is your why, and I always get them to write down what is my why and just write that out and have it wherever they can see it.
Do you think it matters what the why is, or do you think it has to be a strong enough why?
No, because like everyone's reason for wanting to start is going to be totally different, but it has to really come from them, and not like, let's say for example, if someone told you, oh, like there's this great 8-week program, like we should go and do it together, if you're not wanting to do that and the drive isn't at the back of why you want to go, you're not going to have a strong enough why as to why you're doing it compared to the other person's going with you. So making sure that really comes from them and their own personal reasons as to why they want to do it, why they want to transform, why they want to change their, you know, beliefs about themselves, why they want to change themselves, I suppose, in general. So it's kind of, it has to come from them, and it has to be something that drives them to want to continue.
So just for those moments when there is that, you know, I suppose self-doubt and they're thinking about just packing the challenge in, I know like we briefly spoke about it too, but you know, what are positive affirmations, you know, remembering your why and cognitive reframing, and how do they help us get closer to our goal in those moments of doubt?
Yeah, so positive affirmation. So basically our brains are naturally wired to think of a negative before they'll ever jump to a positive. So if you notice like a negative, like negative self-talk will creep in more so than positive self-talk will. So I call it the 5-to-1 ratio, where it takes 5 positive affirmations to outweigh 1 negative thought. So positive affirmations would be just, for example, and there's like so many out there, like I am worthy, I am confident, I am loved. And it's to really back up a true belief. Like it's to give you that true belief about yourself when your limiting beliefs are starting to come in and your negative self-talk is starting to creep back in. So in order to reframe your thinking, positive affirmations are so strong in order to reframe those negative thoughts into true beliefs.
And then in terms of CBT, so I did a bit of CBT myself when I suffered from anxiety, but would that come into play? I suppose you are changing your mindset when you're using CBT or looking at things from a more rational point of view, but do you think CBT would help with the likes of limiting beliefs and stuff?
Absolutely, yeah, because you're changing your, like, it's cognitive frame and you're changing your behaviors, how you think about yourself, you know, your thoughts, emotions and feelings are your human behaviors. Made up of your thoughts, emotions and your feelings. So what you think about yourself, how you react in situations, the emotions that you feel in certain situations as well. So with positive affirmations, like being able to reframe your thinking to think about the positive. So by saying I am loved, I'm worthy, I'm well capable of doing this, or I am confident, it really eliminates that self-doubt and any like negative thoughts that would creep in. And it takes time. So like I would journal in the mornings, and I always say like gratitude journaling is amazing for this. So like you would write out your positive affirmations and it helps you set up your day so that your negative self-talk doesn't creep in.
Yeah, I'm a real strong believer in gratitude journals. Like I think they just make a massive difference because it allows you to kind of take a step back and write down you know, things that you're grateful for, and they don't even have to be materialistic things. You know, it could just be I have the ability to go to the gym today when other people don't. You know, like reframe it like that, oh, I have to go to the gym, or I get to go to the gym, you know.
Yeah, it's like reframing your thinking to say I get to do this instead of oh, I have to go here today. Like it's like I get to spend my day doing this for me. And it's really changing up how you think about the situation as well. So it's not a chore. It's like eliminating that feeling that it's a chore, that you get to do something. And it's like that feeling that's going to make you feel a million times better. Like when have you ever gone to the gym and like regretted your session afterwards? You know what I mean? Like you'd go and you'd be like, oh, like sometimes you might say to yourself, oh, I need to get out of bed now at like 6 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym or something, but afterwards you're like, I'm so delighted I did that, it's really set up my day. And so it's like really reframing your thinking to like, I get to do this, and this is like an amazing thing that I get to do.
Would you ever have anyone, because I suppose we can be quick to kind of paint women with the same brush that, well, no, just women, I mean, that they have confidence issues going into the gym, and I'm sure men do as well. But would you ever have clients come on board that suffer with confidence issues, or like their mindset around entering a gym floor, you know, that kind of like limiting belief that people are going to be staring at me, I'm not capable of being in a gym by myself, I don't know how to use machines, I'll never know how to use the machines, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's the spotlight effect. It's like feeling like when you go into the gym and you're using specific weights for the first time. So let's say you've started a new plan, you're using even free weights or the machines, and you just feel like all eyes are on you. Like you're just feeling like the spotlight is on you, people are looking at you, people are judging you, and it's that fear then that creeps in where you feel like everyone's looking at you. And then after you finish your session, you kind of leave. And they're thinking, I don't want to go back. Like, I don't want to go back in there because their anxiety, like they're so stressed and overwhelmed with the thoughts of other people judging them. So that does happen a lot. And like a good few clients that I've worked with have had that. But there's also been that kind of discussion before about feeling like the free weight section of a gym is very much male dominated. And a lot of the women I've worked with have feared like going into the free weight section. So we would work on that kind of like zoning out of feeling like anyone's judging at anyone, is staring at you and just trying to work on their why again. So it's always going back to their why and like their end goal and like their vision about how they want to perceive themselves and see themselves at the end of their program. So it's trying to eliminate the negative thoughts about anyone judging them, anyone looking at them, and really focusing on their end goal, their vision, and eliminating that spotlight effect.
How important do you think visualization is? Because I know it played a massive part at the start of my journey. How important do you think it is to actually, I wouldn't say, I don't know whether you use that word manifest, but I know visualization is something that is part of my why. Like it actually, you know, I suppose is a catalyst to my why. Because I actually picture myself, like I remember years ago, people were like, oh, you know, stick a picture on the wall of someone you want to look like. We're never going to look like someone else. Like we're all genetically designed differently. But actually picturing yourself in maybe a year or 2 years time, like it's totally doable. You're totally capable. And I think that's something that you have to kind of wrap your head around. It's going to take time. You need patience. But also, when I stop being perfect or trying to be perfect, that's something I want to talk about too, is a lot of people are guilty of trying to be perfect, and that's how they self-sabotage. You think, if I can't be perfect, what's the point carrying on? But I think that accepting or embracing imperfection is the key to actually getting to that goal that you visualize.
Yeah, absolutely. And visualization is massive. Like I always say, like visualize where you see yourself in like 1 month down the line, 3 months, 6 months, and not to jump too far in advance, because and always reflect back month to month. So let's say you have an end goal that you want to reach within, say, 6 to 12 months or 12 months time. Like that's 12 months away. And like we can be very quick to kind of like get through month to month and then kind of give up 3 months in because it's too far away, or you know, you kind of pick away at the goal, or I set that goal too high. I always say reflect month to month, like where were you last month in comparison to now? Like depending on what your goal is, like if it was weight loss, if it was just toning up, or even just mindset wise, it's just like where is your mindset now in comparison to where it was last month, the month before, your beliefs about yourself. So visualization is huge for just consistently visualizing the end goal, visualizing where you want to be, and then also reflecting back on where you were last month and the month prior. I love vision boards. Like I have one as well. I think they're just like the best thing ever. And to be honest, my vision boards are getting bigger. So like you find that like it's small when you first start, and then you're adding stuff to it as you're going. But like they're just brilliant for just like having like at home, and just even on your phone, like your laptop screen or your phone, or even like an actual like giant colored card, and just cut out your pictures and have them all on it, and just like consistently, like whenever you get a chance, just look at it and say you're going to get to where you want to be. And so visualization is massive for success and reaching where you want to be.
Oh, I think, you know, people don't understand that they can get to wherever they want to be. Like they're 100% capable of it. And obviously, you know, limiting beliefs and stuff, and that negative self-talk can hold them back. But to, you know, when you look at your body's like a blank canvas, and you are in complete control of how it looks. And I think that's such, I think, you know, that's something to be grateful for, that I can control how my body looks, that my mind doesn't have to control me. But I think, you know, how would you go about people who do have that perfection mindset, and they think, well, you know, I went 10 calories over my calorie deficit today, might as well just throw the towel in, like that it is a form of self-sabotage. What are some of the things you would say to clients who do struggle with self-sabotage? So like they would binge if they missed a workout. I wouldn't say punish themselves, but they would think, well, what's the point carrying on? I wasn't able to be, you know, consistent with all of I wasn't able to tick all my boxes today.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like perfectionism is a part of self-sabotage and trying to strive to be perfect all of the time, because there's never a full stop when they're trying to be perfect. They're trying to get like better and better and better all of the time, and it leads to burnout, to be honest. And then you know, with sabotaging on your diet, like throughout the day, and say like exactly what you said, they went a few calories over, it's like they give up on themselves, but then they'll also give up on themselves the next day because they're constantly reflecting back on how they went over the day prior. So I suppose we would look at, again, their why they're self-sabotaging. What is the reason behind wanting to be perfect? Like, was it kind of does stem from the past as well, like past traumas, with wanting to be perfect, and feeling like you need to live up to an expectation. So it comes out in other areas, such as dieting, for example, and it does, like that feeling for needing that need to be perfect, comes out in other areas of life. So we kind of deep dive a bit more into that. And that's why I feel that with mindset coaching, I'm very grateful that I have the background in psychology and CBT with that, because I feel like it does come in to mindset coaching a lot, like knowing when to spot certain behaviors in clients as well. Because when I first started out, like mindset coaching wasn't really a thing. It wasn't really there. It was kind of like I'd heard of life coaching, but never really mindset coaching. So when I started off, I was doing it to be a therapist. And I still to this day would love to go into do a PhD in neuroscience, like that is a goal for me. But I feel that having that background is huge for spotting those behaviors in certain clients.
I know, and I think that self-sabotage can also happen when, we just spoke about it there a couple of minutes ago, but when they see like the massive mountain that they have to climb, they're like, oh, you know, every time I go over my calories, I'm moving further and further away from the goal of losing, say, 10 kg. And I think you need to stop focusing on this massive mountain and focus on the step in front of you. Because if you keep thinking every time you have an extra chocolate bar, oh, you know, I'm never going to be able to lose 10 kg. Like, just focus on the week at hand, or even the day. Like, we're focused on losing a pound a week. We're not focusing on the 20 pounds at the moment, because, you know, we could be hit by a bus next week. Like, there's no point worrying about something that's in the future. But I do think that, would you agree that that maybe isn't, you know, I suppose the correct way of thinking when it comes to moments like that, when we're kind of anticipating like this massive mountain ahead? Would you agree that maybe just focusing on the week at hand would be the better approach?
Yeah, like you have to take it step by step. If you keep thinking ahead about all these things that you have to achieve, you're going to overwhelm yourself with everything. Like, literally take it step by step. Reflect again on how far you've come, visualize where you want to be, but always reflect back week to week, month to month, and it just makes your end goal seem like not that far away when you're reflecting, oh well, I came this far this week, this far the next. There's going to be off days, there's going to be days where you're going to fall off track. Like, you're going to have, like, you know, for example, coming up to Christmas events are going to be coming up. You're going to be, you know, going out, meeting family, meeting friends. Like, there's going to be days where you will have off track days, and you just get back up and you go at it again the next day. And this kind of like sabotaging behavior where you'll go out, you'll go on a night out, you'll binge, and then you'll kind of binge the next day and the next day, and almost it falls into like a 3-day event. That's like sabotaging your own kind of goal and like wanting to move forward. So it's kind of just always reflecting, allowing yourself to be able to have those off days, and being able to get back up and go at it again.
Yeah, I think it's just teaching clients how to think a bit rationally. Again, using CBT again, like, I wouldn't be, you know, qualified, trained, like, to deal with clients on that level. But when you actually say, if someone has maybe a second takeaway during the week, or they go over their calories, I sometimes try and, you know, make them think a bit clearer and be like, did you actually think over these 8 weeks you are never ever going to go over your calories? Because it's not realistic, you know, and that's the kind of perfection mindset as well coming into play again. And it's something I try hammer into them, like, from day one. I'm like, look, you're going to go over your calories. There's going to be emergencies. We are not going to be able to stick to our calories. You know, things are going to pop up that we don't even know that are on the horizon yet. And we just take each day at a time. But again, it's not the actual event that will ruin your progress. It's how you respond to it.
Exactly. That's a really good point. It is how you respond to it. And as well, like, there's going to be different times of the month. Like for women, for example, your time of the month, there'll be water retention, like reasons why the scales might be a bit higher than what it was yesterday, etc. And I've had clients talk to me about that as well, where they'll fall into an extreme cycle of negative self-talk and self-sabotage because they're like, oh, the scales is up, but not really taking into consideration other factors that might have led to that as well. So yeah, I think that is like an important point, where there's going to be times where, you know, your body will fluctuate throughout the month, you're allowed have off track times of your plan as well. Like I love having a bit of chocolate and a cup of tea in the evening. And like when I was on my plans before, not even on the plans, but like I would love having like way more chocolate than what I do now in the evening with a cup of tea. But I still kind of have that like mindset where I like to have a bit of chocolate with a cup of tea in the evening. And I factor that into my plan so that I'm always kind of, it's like a self-care kind of time in my evening for me, where I'm still having my tea and my chocolate in the evening. I still kind of match that behavior with an old behavior. It's like you're kind of transforming an old behavior, if that makes sense, like an old habit, so that it's like factored into your current plan, so that you're still having your twirl bar or whatever in your cup of tea in the evening. And that's what I love about a lot of plans that are out there, is you're allowed to have your squares bar, you're allowed to have your chocolate, you're allowed to have your, like, I suppose, cheat meal or off track meal, like at the during the week, and, you know, coming up to Christmas and stuff like that, and then always jumping back into your plan the next day and just never giving up on yourself. So I think it's good to also break that mindset of thinking that you're on a diet consistently, and breaking that feeling that you're on a diet, so that it doesn't feel like a diet, so that you just, it forms this habit over time. Because it takes like over 66 days to form a habit. So once you get over those 8 weeks, you're starting to fall into this autopilot habit, where you're kind of it kind of almost feels like the norm for you, like this nutrition plan is like starting to become the norm, and like you're consistently tracking, but also then tracking in like foods that you love as well. Like you have to love what you're doing, or else like you'll give up as well. So you have to have those like off track days, or those bits of chocolate and stuff like throughout your week as well, and factor it in.
Yeah, I spoke about that actually just in the previous episode. It was an episode about discipline, but I was talking a bit about habits, and I watch a lot of Andrew Huberman, him? I watch a lot of his YouTube videos, and you know, about neural pathways and stuff, and how our body just goes into autopilot. Like I will go down to my kitchen and I could literally do it with my eyes closed now, like take the bowl out, take the food scale, the oats, the peanut butter and stuff. It's just all on autopilot. And I speak about how most of the time I'm driving to the gym. Like I don't really go anywhere else. Maybe, and if I'm going for a food shop, I go to the gym that much that when I get in the car, I just go into autopilot, and before I know it, I'm halfway to the gym. It's like, and you're supposed to be going for a food shop. It's actually like really scary. How much I feel like a self-driving Tesla. That's how it feels. But that's what I mean about second nature. It gets ingrained in you. And I think some people, just before they get to that threshold, before it becomes an actual habit, they give up. And there's this picture, I haven't got it on screen at the moment, but it's two people, and it's this guy, two guys, they're both digging for diamonds, and one stops just before he gets to the diamonds, and the other is going regardless. You know, he's like, I'm not turning back, I'm gonna keep going till I get to these diamonds. So when you actually see a client and you've built a relationship with them, and they just start having those limited beliefs, then just before they get to the threshold, I read a book before, Atomic Habits, and it speaks about that you know, just before you're on the brink of change is usually when a lot of people give up.
Yeah, it's that fear of the unknown and fear of what's on the other side. Like the fear of the unknown is what's going to hold you back. It's that fear of changing your current habits, your current routines. And that goes without saying for anything like changing career, etc. It's like that fear of making a change. But you've mentioned this before on my page, that you're, when you change and jump out of your comfort zone, the new thing that you start doing will become your current comfort zone. It'll start over time, it'll start to become more and more comfortable to you, to a point where it's going to feel like your comfort zone again, because that fear won't last forever. Like, you'll start to learn. It's like when you jump into a new job and you're in training for the first couple of weeks. Like, after the first couple of weeks, it starts, you know what to do, you know, when you log in, like what you have to do when you're doing your job. And that's now part of your comfort zone because you fully understand what you need to do. That's the same with your fitness plan. It's like, same with your nutrition. It's like, it's this fear of, oh, I'm never going to be allowed to have, like, you know, my Chinese again, or I'm never going to be allowed to have like chocolate or whatever again. It's just, you're fearing what's on the other side of your current comfort zone. So fear is what will hold everyone back from changing.
Yeah, and it's so true. I mean, it's very easy for us to sit on the couch and snack and watch TV. Like, that's easy for us. That's comfortable for us. And I think a lot of people want to go back to what's comfortable because it's familiar. And like, our brains are designed to protect us, you know, like we when we go into like uncomfortable territory, it's normal to feel uncomfortable because we're not familiar with it. And I suppose that's the way it was even for myself when I started out on this journey of losing body fat. I was always someone who gave up on everything. But I just want to talk about the word identity now, because when I read that book, Atomic Habits, it spoke about identity. And, you know, when you are stuck in the mindset of someone who, oh, I identify as someone who constantly gives up, I'll never be able to do X, Y, and Z, I fail at everything I start. I actually just started adopting the identity of, what if I was someone who didn't give up? What would happen then, you know?
Yeah. It's how you perceive yourself, like how you kind of spent like the past and the present, kind of perceiving yourself, like your values, your beliefs about yourself. So like believing that you'll never be able to change, believing that, you know, oh, I'll never be able to get to that end goal, or that I suppose vision that you have for yourself. So yeah, it's kind of, I suppose, how you would perceive yourself.
Yeah. And again, like you said, it's all about your support systems. It really is, because actually I remember I've had a couple of clients in the past where they are surrounded by people who, you know, are from a different era. They don't, I suppose there's a lot of positive information out there on the internet now when it comes to dieting, people kind of like breaking through the clutter and, you know, giving out, I suppose, easy digestible information rather than years ago when it was like, you can't eat sugar, you can only have two squares of chocolate, etc. Like, a lot of our like relatives are still stuck in that mindset because they don't have access to TikTok, or they don't have access to people who are just, you know, better at educating other people, etc. And they're just not stuck in that old toxic diet culture. But they have like people in their lives, some of my clients, who are just like, oh, you know, just have another slice of pizza, stop being a dry shy, sure, what do you need to go on a diet for, there's nothing wrong with you and stuff. And they actually find it quite difficult. They said like, that's probably the hardest part. It's not getting up and going to the gym or following a calorie deficit. It's the constantly having to explain themselves to people who just don't understand. Like, I know we spoke a bit about support systems, but would you have any advice for people who are in that situation, who have to deal with that on a day-to-day basis? Maybe it's even in the staff room at work, people just kind of like, I don't know, patronizing them.
Yeah, and I've come across this before as well, where, you know, clients might be living at home and like the Sunday dinner would be like the norm. So you'd be having kind of like, you know, your spuds, like you're a lot of carbs, etc., which is totally, you know, you're allowed to have your carbs. But I mean, they'd be kind of saying, exactly, have another slice of pizza, or we're getting a takeaway, do you want one? Why aren't you getting one? That kind of thing. And also in like office situations as well. I would always say to my clients to have a sit down, if it's their family, for example, because it can be tough at work, but if it's family, have a sit down, explain to them what you're doing. Like, you don't need to explain yourself to anyone. If you want to make a change, it's up to you to make a change. But if you feel that it's becoming difficult and you're living in a situation that, you know, you can't really escape, like your home situation, if people are saying something to you about what you can and can't eat, or like have another slice of pizza, for example, I would always say sit down and explain to them, like, I'm on this plan, you know, I eat well, this is the nutrition plan that I'm on. If I don't want to have another slice of pizza, I don't have to, or if I don't want to have, you know, the takeaway on a Wednesday evening, I don't have to. But just kind of explaining, I suppose, what they're doing, because a lot of people don't understand. And like what you were saying, like, it's kind of like that old sort of, I suppose, diet culture. It's kind of like our moms and dads don't really have access to TikTok. Mine don't anyway. So like they don't really like know. And like when I was on food plans before, like my mom be like, "What are you doing eating that? What's that gonna do for you? No, you need your spuds, you need your like cabbage and your bacon on a Sunday, etc." So yeah, it's really just explaining to them, like just saying, "Look, this is what I'm doing. I'll have my like takeaway with you on a Friday or whatever, or something," but it's just really explaining to them because they don't know, like they've you know, this is new to them as well, and they're kind of probably wondering what you're doing. So it's kind of just really having that conversation and explaining to them without feeling like you are I suppose over explaining or feeling like you have to like I suppose give a reason for everything, but just kind of giving them a bit of an insight into like why you're doing it, and it just kind of like stops that questioning kind of period.
Yeah, I completed a photo shoot, and you know, I used to have dinner in my boyfriend's house with his mom and stuff like that, and I wouldn't have dinner for these specific 9 or 10 weeks, but I would go in and chat to them and catch up with them, and you know, every week they're like, "Oh, are you still on your crazy diet?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's not a crazy diet, but you kind of just had to bite your lip." You're yeah. Like, all right, I'm just not explaining this again. But look, I had to have to sit down with, you know, my boyfriend and explain to him, like, I'm not going to be able to really eat out in restaurants, but I'm going to be eating at home. You know, and he completely understands that. It's great to have that. But again, you know, I would have an aunt who would just not understand. And sometimes you're just better off biting your lip and being like, "I've explained it to you once." But you will come up against people like that, I think, no matter how many times you explain yourself, and it's just down to them not understanding. And yeah, I think it's just anticipating that is going to happen. It doesn't mean like you're less of a person or you are on a crazy diet, but like you said, it's just down to people just not understanding.
Exactly. And like don't allow it to I suppose to derail you from reaching your goal and being on the plan. Like don't allow it to have you shy away from achieving what you want to achieve. Like some people won't understand, and that's life as well. I suppose when you want to change something and you're coming up against people who don't want to change, that can be very difficult, because then there's just a clash. But once they see kind of what you're doing, it almost becomes like a habit for them, because they're seeing you do it and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's the norm now," almost. So it's kind of like you're kind of changing their behaviors a bit as well. And sometimes you'll get people who will kind of question what you're doing purely because it's kind of highlighting maybe certain areas of them that they maybe want to change. And so that's another topic, but like it can bring up some kind of things for them too.
Yeah, I know, that's something I try to say as well. Maybe they just see that you're capable, or you have the confidence in yourself to change, and maybe they're just stuck somewhere and they're not ready to change. You know, I think it comes down to the drinking culture in this country as well, that when you're not drinking, people think there's something wrong with you, and it's like you have to explain yourself again. It's the same situation. But you know, we're coming into January, I suppose, in 3 weeks nearly, and that is a very popular time for people to kind of new year new me. Would you have any advice for people going, you know, I suppose towards the whole all or nothing approach? Because that is a very dangerous approach. People, you know, they're throwing all their biscuits in the bin, their chocolates, etc., and they're just in that mindset of absolutely, you know, no sweets are coming into this house, they might live with other people and stuff, and it never lasts. So is there anything, I suppose, advice wise you would give to those people?
Yeah, like I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions, because I feel that if you have this New Year's resolution, you're putting an awful lot of pressure on yourself to make this massive change, and there's no better time to change than the present. I know that like with Christmas coming up and everything, like, you know, it's far easier to make that change from the 1st of January onwards. But just to not put too much pressure on yourself or feel like it's like a new year, new me, just like set a goal for yourself that you feel is achievable. Take small steps. Like don't set a massive goal and then feel like in a month's time you're going to drop, because there is this statistic that nearly like 70% of people who set a New Year's resolution from the 1st of January will not last past the end of January, because this goal was so big. So have a sit down, write out things that you would like to change, but instead of saying from the 1st of January, say you'd like to change from today. So these are mindset, something within your mindset, something within your fitness goals, or anything in general. And also create that vision board for yourself, you know, visualize the success, visualize where you'd like to be, and then set the small goals with that larger one. So let's say it's a 6-month goal, set that like smaller goals month to month, and just kind of make it that bit easier for yourself. So, you know, okay, at the end of this month, I'm going to achieve this little bit and this little bit and this little bit. And it's just taking smaller steps towards it, because there is this like massive pressure around New Year's resolutions and having to like change everything about yourself within the new year. But no, it can be smaller goals, and reflect back on them month to month.
And I think that that old phrase that like time is going to pass regardless, you know, if people who like don't want to start now, or you know, they want to wait till January, etc., or they always wait for kind of when they're not busy, or you know, when there's no events coming up. And like you said, there's no better time than the present. Obviously, yeah, there's going to be a lot more social occasions coming up at Christmas time, but I just think if you always wait until it's easy, you're never going to be able to start, and time is going to pass regardless. So you might as well spend that time chipping away, you know, developing the good habits, etc. And I even people who started with me in October, I'd be like, you're going to be way ahead of the game now come January, because you know, you've built the foundations, you're going to hit the ground running, rather than like biting off more than you can chew come January. You're looking at this massive mountain that you have to climb, and you've already kind of got through the most difficult situations. I mean, if you can get through Christmas and still maintain progress and still enjoy yourself, I mean, you can probably get through anything throughout the year.
Yeah, like I think you're also kind of then comparing yourself to other people who are setting these goals in January as well, because I see it all over online as well. Like, you know, the new year, new me of January is coming, like make a change kind of a thing. But if you kind of sit down now and say, what would I like to achieve in 2024? Like, what have I been thinking about in 2023 that I feel like I haven't done yet, but would love to do? And kind of just reflect on that, like one thought, like what is it that I would love to do in 2024, and where would I like to see myself? Instead of just trying to create this like New Year's resolution, just maybe for the sake of it, because everyone else is, it's kind of like sit down and really reflect on what you want and where you'd like to be, and set them, like create smaller goals out of the large one that you might like to achieve. Yeah, so that would be what I would say.
Yeah, because I think some people are just guilty of trying to conquer in everything. You know, they're like, I want to get 10,000 steps done a day, I want to get 5 gym sessions done a week. And then they realize how much time that actually takes, and they realize that for their lifestyle, it doesn't suit them. And then, like you said earlier on, they get burned out and they end up giving up. So, you know, if I had any advice to give, I would say maybe just conquer one thing at a time. Maybe it's just walking more, or maybe it's just improving protein with each meal. Because if you try to rush the process, you will get overwhelmed, and then that's where the limiting beliefs comes in, you know, oh, there we go, can't stick to anything, failed once again. But it's actually probably just the approach that you're taking, exactly. It's not the most sustainable one.
Exactly, and like everyone's lifestyle is different. Like some people have kids, maybe they have to get up earlier in the morning, bring their kids to school, maybe they're in jobs that are maybe shift work, for example, and they aren't the 9 to 5, and like everyone's kind of days are going to look different as well. So it's really just kind of looking at like what's sustainable for you, so that you can remain on track with it, and then not feeling like you're going to give up on yourself, and also entering it with the approach that you're going to succeed. Because if you enter it with this approach that it might not last, or you're going to fail, but you won't last, because you're going into it with that limiting belief that like, I'm not going to be able to achieve this, or you know, you're entering it into it with this mindset of you have a different lifestyle. So like, look at like how your days are currently, and then enter into that with, okay, this is what I can achieve, and I'm going to be able to achieve this. And then reflect on it after, even I would say the first 2 weeks of January, because trying to get to the end of January after spending the whole month of December so having a great time is like, I'd say reflect on it the first 2 weeks of January, look back and say, okay, what have I achieved, what do I need to change, and then work to the end of January. And then once you get past January, you can reflect on it month to month, but January can be a tough month to change. So I would say look back in it mid-January and the end of January, and then go from there.
And then finally, Martha, do you think change is possible for everybody?
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The only person that's standing in your way is yourself. There's no one, there's no thing, there's no one out there that's standing in the way of you making a change. And apart from your own fear of wanting to change, or like, you know, as I said earlier, like the fear of the unknown, what's on the other side of the door. So yeah, like absolutely everyone has the ability to change, and the only one standing in the way is yourself, and everyone has the ability to reach the goals that they want to achieve. And if you're already thinking of achieving something, if you're already thinking of a goal that you want to achieve, that drive is already there within you to want to get there, because you're already thinking about it, you're already imagining it, you're visualizing it. That drive is there, it's somewhere in you. So you have the ability to make that change 100%.
And where can people find you on Instagram once again, Martha?
Yeah, so it's Mindset with Martha. So I have my Instagram, Mindset with Martha, on TikTok as well. And then also mindsetwithmartha.com is my website as well.
And if there's anyone out there that might be thinking of contacting you, what type of services would you provide? How can you help them? How would you even start with a consult, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have consultation calls as well. So I run the Ultimate 180 Life Strategy program. So this is like a monthly membership that I run with my clients. So we would literally go through obviously everything that we discussed on this podcast with yourself, at Limiting Beliefs, confidence building, alongside their fitness program. If they're not in a fitness program, we still work on, you know, your mindset as well. And maybe if you want to make that change, you want to start a fitness program, we go through that as well. But within my consultation calls, we start every call with self-awareness. So kind of what has led you up to wanting to start with a mindset coach today, like your past, your present, where do you see yourself in the future? And kind of we look at your current values, your current beliefs, and we really kind of paint that picture of kind of what's led you to today. And then we work on where we can get you to in the future as well. So it's a really exciting time. It's a transformation. It's really transforming your mindset towards success. And yeah, we look at your health and fitness goals along the way with that as well.
Yeah, I think, I know you said at the start of the podcast, but I think, you know, every gym would benefit from having someone on site, you know, with expertise like yourself, because I think that, you know, PTs, they can show you how to prevent injury, etc. like that. But I think one thing they don't teach in a PT course is about mindset. And like we said at the start of the podcast, it's a massive part of a transformation. And I suppose they teach you very little about it in the courses. You know, it's all about kind of the physical side, but you know, like I said, I think the mindset has to change before the physical does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've added my services to other like fitness platforms before. I've recently started with Shape My Plan, which is a nutrition and fitness app, and I've added my mindset services to that as well. I've worked with previous coaches and added my mindset services to that. So each client on a previous program that I was working with would get two monthly 30-minute sessions with me. And it just meant that bi-weekly, they had that 30-minute check-in with me, working through their mindset, so that if they were taking that dip where they felt like motivation wasn't showing up, it's really having that support with me, knowing that self-discipline will back them up. So just learning about discipline, confidence building, eliminating those limiting beliefs that they have about themselves. And it really like elevated them to remain on track with their program, because mindset, like I found this niche within like where I am right now with health and fitness. It's like it doesn't really exist. Like it's, you know, it was never there within fitness programs. It was always kind of your fitness coach saying to you, like talking about motivation, but the kind of other things, the kind of getting to, I suppose, the nitty-gritty of why clients drop off their plans because of their own self-sabotage. And it's just having a mindset coach there to help support them. And so yeah, I do feel it's definitely like something that's needed more,
because it's a lifestyle thing. I know you're not constantly going to be dieting, but I mean, like, you're always going to be looking after yourself, going to the gym, eating well, etc. And when people run marathons, like, I mean, that's 80%, 90% a mental battle too. You know, it's a mindset thing. And I just think that, you know, you need that support there, I suppose, that self-talk. I mean, I wouldn't have got half as far as I have if I didn't change that self-talk, if I still lived in the shoes of someone who always gave up, you know, because it does have to change. And like I said as well, you're not going to get to where you want to be by, I suppose, continuing the bad habits that got you there in the first place, you know.
Exactly, yeah. So like your mindset is going to be, again, like 80% of you remaining on track with your plan, because it all starts with your mindset, you know. So yeah, with you staying on track, definitely mindset is a massive part of it, for everyone who starts a plan.
Yeah, well, I hope that people have got a good few key takeaways from this podcast. Martha, thanks so much for coming on. And if you want to find Martha, you're on Instagram and TikTok, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Mindset Martha and then mindsetmartha.com for my website as well.
Brilliant. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of interest after this, because it's a new, I suppose, service now on the horizon. Not many other coaches or not many other people online are offering this service. So I would definitely go give her a follow. And this podcast even alone will be very beneficial. Martha, thanks so much. Hopefully I have you on again soon down the line.